truly enjoyed the ministry of those two brothers, especially the aspect of God's Savior. As the children of God, I suppose we could ask ourselves the question, are we faithful to you? I was thinking of the fact that many of us live in neighborhoods where perhaps we have an unwise neighbor. Or in some places where there are poor neighborhoods, perhaps there's a place where there's some illegal activity being done in a certain house. And we live on that street, it causes no end of problems and pain. And we wait for the situation to change. And all of a sudden, there's a sign on the house that says, for sale. And our hearts become enlightened and we think, there's going to be an end to the situation. We hang on for a little bit longer, and then all of a sudden we see the sign that says sold. And we're a little bit more brighter, and we realize, wow, there's going to be an end to the situation finally. And then that whoever causes the problem moves out, and a new family moves in. And usually what happens is a complete change and everything's fine. I was thinking about that in a very practical sense, but the book of Joshua, chapter 5, thought that the Lord is a, I could use the word plague in a good time to be with. I thought I'd ask you the same question in the thought of what is here. In Joshua, chapter 5, there's a thought of that. Well, we'll read it. Joshua, chapter 5, verse 4, it says, in this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of the war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. And my question is, how did they spend their time waiting for the last one to die? We had God's promises before us, and now that He's faithful in all these things, and He did promise that those who went into the wilderness for 40 years, they all would die. So how did they mark the time? As you and I probably would, sit around and watch. There goes one, there goes another. Whole wilderness journey was marked by funerals. But each funeral meant one closer to coming out of the situation to go for God's promises. Every funeral meant one closer. So what would they have thought if the last person was still surviving? The last surviving one. What would they have thought? How would they have waited their time? Watch them very closely and carefully. Every time we talk, it would probably be, is this it? Is this it? Well, finally you would go. That would be it. We don't read of any great rejoicing. Wouldn't that be what you and I would do? The last one's gone. We're free. Now God's free to do what He wants to do. Anyway, that was the thought in my head. I throw that at you. It comes to you, of your thoughts. But you know what happens? How about taking that thought further? In the book of Matthew, the Lord tells us, for you and I, as the children of God, book of Matthew, chapter 24, very quickly. Matthew 24, 42, it says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And in 46 it says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. The advantage that they had was that they could watch, sadly. They could watch those who died one by one. And they knew, and they trusted in the same God that was spoken of from his pulpit, that that God is just as faithful to them as he is to us. That when that last person died, God would act on His promises and take them into the promised land. They had a warning. They had a specific time that they could look forward to and say, yes, when that happens, then the next thing will happen. The next turn of events will happen. You and I don't have that. The Lord will come when the Lord chooses to come. We don't have the advantage of sitting around watching in that sense. We don't have signs that we can look for or call not to. But yet the Lord is committed to you and I as His people the same degree of faithfulness in what He's called each one of us to do. The beauty of it is that He's given us each other to look after and care for one another. As members of the body of Christ, as was spoken of, we are a body. We should function as a body. And each member of the body has care one for another. We're singing in the book of the Song of Solomon. It says this. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. I think of when I thought of this, the only two things I thought was that thought and how I was going to explain that thought to you. And the other thing I'm thinking of is Benji Lucy. One of the things that Benji loves, I think, the conferences is the open meeting. And every time, I don't know if he said the same thing as he said to me, always, I love to hear the brothers speak. I love to hear the older brothers speak. And sometimes I challenge him to say, Benji, why is the older brothers? Why not the younger brothers? Is it only the older brothers that the Lord lays on their heart things to say? I don't think so. I think the younger brothers have much to say. The Lord lays on our hearts what He lays on our hearts, each one. And sometimes we have a tendency to leave it to the older brothers to take part in the ministry, when I'm sure there are many younger brothers who are quite capable, but yet for some reason they hold back. But I think it's a call for us to be faithful. And I look at Song of Solomon, chapter 3, and this is what the person says. By night on my bed I saw him whom I loved, whom my soul loved. I saw him when I found him not. Most of the time we spend our time sleeping. And we've been dealing with this in our assembly reading meeting, in the sense of sleeping, it's two senses, I suppose, sleeping in the sense of death. But also sleeping in the sense of not being faithful to the things that God has committed to our hand, to our hearts. Just sort of laying back and letting others take place when the Lord may put things on our hearts to speak and talk about. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broadways till I seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him and I found him not. The watchman that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And they could not reveal the answer or the information that you wanted. I have visited in my time, and many of us have visited families where perhaps there's only one brother. And it's up to him to minister to the saints in that particular locality. Or in some cases in the mainstream churches, they appointed a man who's sometimes called a pastor. But it's up to him to do all the things that are necessary to make that body or part of the body, the assembly, the church, whatever it is, to function. And that's a lot to put on the shoulders of one person. Especially when that person has only a certain amount of degree of gifting or certain abilities that God has given them. But it says here in verse 4, I was but a little that I passed from them, and I found him whom my soul loveth, and I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house, and in the chamber of her house that conceived me. I believe it speaks of the truth that we can appropriate for ourselves. It's a wonderful thing when God gives us truths that we can take into ourselves and apply and learn from. But I believe also, because He's given that to us to do, I believe also He's given us the ability to take in, but also to give out. Ephesians chapter 2, very quickly, I know our time is going, but there's two quick verses to look at this in that sense. With the Lord's coming so imminent, I believe He desires for each one of us to do that which is committed to our hands in order to encourage one another and to grow. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus of the good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Each one of us, I believe, God has given a peculiar, particular, individual gifting love, care, concern, whatever God has given me, for a particular reason. And though we tend to be somewhat selfish in those things, and we rejoice in them, and sometimes it's a good thing to do that, to enjoy the things of the Lord, but the body of Christ is a needy body, and it needs each one of us to participate. And if you'll turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, this becomes very true. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Or even verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, they grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every joint supplieth. There is a need for each one of us to supply what God has given us to one another in order to be healthy and strong and functioning as the body of Christ and His assemblies. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body and edifying of itself in love. What God has given you, what God has given me as an individual, I believe He will require of us to be just as faithful as He is in the sharing of those things one with another. It might be ministry from the pulpit. It might be just thoughts, an encouraging word here and there. It might be some care or concern that you have for someone, maybe a prayer. Whatever it might be that is laid on your heart to do, do it in faithfulness. Don't hold back. For God has given it that for you to do. Be as faithful to the body as He is in all the promises He's given. I trust it might be a little, probably an admonition more than anything, but I hope it encourages us to remember that the faithfulness that He has given to us in providing His Son, the great love He's shown for us, the care and concern that He gives us in our daily lives, is something that we can show for one another in our daily lives also. And that by doing so, we become strong and encouraging and help one another. Because after all, we are, in essence, His hands and His feet, His eyes and His ears, in His world.
Praise the Savior.
Then we shall.